there. Welcome back to Reflecting with Raina. I am Raina, and I welcome you to reflect with me. This is a journey. I always say journey. This is a journal style microcast where I reflect on family, faith, and everything in between. I will talk about things that may be unique to me or entirely relatable to you. You can join in on the discussion by emailing the show at reflectingwithraina@gmail.com or tweeting the show at Raina Reflects on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter personally at Raina Swift Sage on Twitter, and you can find my show notes and everything else about the show at reflectingwithraina.com. So today's entry is entry number 6. It is December 1st, 2020. And I just wanted to start off this entry by telling you about an Advent study that comes in paperback that I got called O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And I found it because I've been seeing a lot of stuff on social media about how are you spending your Advent? How are you celebrating your Advent? And I thought, you know what? I don't think I've actually ever celebrated Advent. I wasn't raised in a home, you know, that really, you know, we were like that check the box Christian. Like, you know, if it says, what religion are you? You like, check the box. I am a Christian. But I never saw what the Christian life actually looked like because it definitely wasn't replicated by my family. My dad wouldn't step foot in a church unless it was to eat whatever desserts were laying out after church. And my mom, I think, just went to show off and to like, you know, it was like a social event more or less because I never really saw like the Christian life lived out. So Advent to us is just like where you buy one of those chocolate candies and you candy calendars and you pop out a new paper perforated box every day and shove the chocolate in your mouth. Ta-da, that was Advent. And it never dawned on me that you could actually, as a Christian, this is a whole new amazing door to walk through. So I've picked up a couple Advent books, thanks to like Hoot and Hell on Twitter and more people that I've began to follow on Twitter that have also just started talking about it. So I thought, why not? Why not? Because if there's another way to celebrate the birth of my Lord and Savior, you know, I always sound like those commercials where they make fun of, I think it's on the Simpsons, when their neighbor walks up and is like, oh, do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yeah, funny, haha. But in reality, you know, pop culture makes fun of accepting Jesus as like this, oh, you're some crazy person. But I'm sorry, we live in a supernatural world, and Jesus is not cannot be boiled down to a Simpsons episode or a goofy neighbor, you know. The way Jesus moves in your life, it is just, it's amazing. You can just feel the supernatural connection with your creator. It's far more deeper than just a corny cartoon show. So I'm just keeping it real, okay? And I wouldn't say that if I wasn't speaking from my personal experience, because I'm going to end up having to share my testimony on the show so that you guys can really understand where I've come from and why I feel so strongly. But, you know, hey, haha. I know what it's like when we say, you know, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. It's because really he is. He created us and he saved us and he has an invitation. So that's what I wanted to get to. So this book, really, I'm really enjoying it so far. And it looks like such a unique Bible study, not just like, look up this Bible verse, discuss it. Look up this Bible verse, discuss it. Like it actually has some real extra pizzazz to it. So I'll tell you, I will read to you what the description is on the back of the book. So it says, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, an Advent study explores Jesus's work on our behalf in the message of Christmas. This study will not only fuel our worship of Jesus, but help us as readers foster steadfast love anchored in biblical truth now and all year long. Readers will more fully understand the anticipation and waiting that the Old Testament world endured, the light and life Jesus came in to bring us, and the eternal promise that Jesus is yet ushering us into. This beautiful resource will also include Advent activities to help kids, students, and adults celebrate the Christmas season together. This Christmas season, set your focus on the anticipation and joy that only Christ can bring in the study of Advent. So some of the things that it features is leader helps for group discussion, 4 weeks of personal study to be completed between the 5 group sessions, a beautiful four-color interior to enhance the reader's experience, specific Advent activities for kids, students, and adults. And I was flipping through there, and it had like some different types of games that you can play with your kids to kind of like get them to understand the idea of drawing near to Christ. So like I said, like you can take a little baby Jesus out of a nativity scene that is like child friendly. Like I have a VeggieTales nativity scene, each one of my kids do. So like we could take the little baby carrot Jesus and we could go hide him somewhere in the house. And it said to use the terms near and far, kind of like how you would play hot and cold growing up as a kid. You would go near and far, and then it goes through so you can tie in little games in with the lesson. So I thought that was really neat. And then there's even recipes in there that you could cook as a family as part of the Advent celebration. I'm like, that is so cool. So some of the benefits that it offers is that it allows a deeper understanding of Advent to fuel our worship of Christ, understand deeper theological truths of Christmas, and to help us learn more about Jesus and how his coming brings us hope, light, wisdom, and gospel unity. And I thought that that was awesome. In the top, the benefit of it, it's only $10. I found it on Amazon. It's only $9.99. I put the link to the notes, link to it in my show notes at Raina, reflectingwithraina.com. So I wanted to kind of get started with talking about like my experience doing day one with this Advent book. It was pretty cool. So they had us read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and that covers the fall of, you know, man, entrance of sin, Adam and Eve eating the sketchy fruit from the tree of good and evil in the center of the garden and going against God's wishes and breaking that circle of trust, more or less. So in this Emmanuel Bible study, we were asked this question: have you ever paused to consider what a mercy it is that God still invites us into his presence, even though we are sinners? And I thought, wow, you know, that's, I'm not sure that I've specifically sat down and thought about that personally. I know I've talked about it, but I've never like put into perspective the gravity of the fact that God loves us so much that he still invites us, knowing that we are sinners, that we're broken. That's like inviting someone over to eat at a fancy meal and they're showing up in like muddy overalls and you're like, I don't think so. You're not rolling up in here eating my fancy food looking like a hot mess. Mm-mm. You know, like God doesn't do that to us. He loves us no matter what. He loves us if we're dirty. He loves us if we're clean. He loves us in our mess because he's the one that can fix us in our mess. So God definitely loves us unconditionally, and we do not have to clean ourselves up to follow Jesus. He will get into the trenches with us. He will get into our messy lives, and he will work with us on his timing. It's not on our expectations or his. He knows, and he's in control, and he will help us clean up our mess. He will not just leave us. Like we can invite him into our mess, and he will gladly accept. And he really is the only one who can do it the right way, in my opinion. Like a change of the heart definitely outlasts a changing of the mind, from my personal experience. Like we can change our mind on the flip, you know, but God changes the heart. God has that changing of the heart that takes place that doesn't just change with the wind. Our minds can just change with the wind. How we feel about something or somebody changes with the wind, you know. But our hearts, if you have a real, true heart transformation through Christ, it doesn't change like boop, it doesn't change that fast. So the fact that God loves us so much that he maintains that invitation to us to be with him for eternity shows us that even in our broken state, that he loves us. He loves us through our brokenness. And that is his love for us is forever. He wants to have a relationship with us just as he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. He didn't have to spend time with them in the garden after he created them, but he did. He created them. He spent time with them. They were buds, you know? He didn't have to spend time with them, but he chose to. He's the creator, and he still is a humble, loving God and wanted to spend time with them and have a true, genuine relationship. And nothing has changed in that regard. He loves us so much. And he loved them enough to show them mercy, you know, even after they did, you know, ate the fruit and got kicked out of the garden, you know, he gave them a second chance and showed them mercy in a way that was like, here, you know, you can't stay here anymore, but you can go over there and do your thing, you know? So I think that right there, just the amount of mercy, he could have just zapped them. Bye, next, I'll create some other couple that won't go and eat that fruit. So I just think it's awesome to remember that he has an open door policy. You don't have to be dressed fancy and talk fancy or attend a Bible college to be close to God. God created humans before any of that even existed, before clothes existed, before fancy talk existed, before Bible colleges existed. God created man and woman. He created our relationship with him before anything else worldly ever entered the scene. And his intent is to actually have a genuine relationship with us. If he meant to abandon us, he would have never sent Jesus to be born and later die for all of our sins. That right there showing that the death of Jesus on the cross, paying our sin debt, was a huge invitation, a reminder that we are still invited to live with him in the kingdom that he has created for us, that God is creating for us. So that I wanted to end this section on John 3:16. It's my son's favorite Bible verse. He can replay it back like on the dime. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's you, honey. That's me. That's us. He loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is your invitation to take him up on it and let him walk into your life and invite him in, because he has invited you and he has invited me because he loves us. All right. And before I finish up entry 6, I just wanted to share some ways, because, you know, a lot of people are going to be struggling with this winter that's rolling in, especially on the East Coast side of the states, and things get dreary. The sun doesn't come out as much. People tend to fight depression more. And so pile that on top of our political environment we're in and a pandemic environment we're in, and then throw in winter on top of it. The enemy is really gonna try to gnaw at us. And there's some additional things that I do, that I am choosing to do to combat that, besides doing my Bible verses and praying and staying, you know, working on my relationship with God. I do some practical, everyday, normal human stuff, you know, to try to combat that. Instead of just waking up, throwing some food down my throat and plopping down and popping on the TV, you know, this is what I'm personally doing right now. 5 things to help fight the gloomy cold weather approaching while living in the shutdown life. So number one, I have started redoing rooms, moving furniture around, taking a different look. You'd be amazed at like moving your couch to the other side of like your living room. It just changes your perspective. You're not staring at the same wall all the time. You can change your decorations around, move some pictures around, maybe paint a wall, maybe paint a room or something. Put down a new area rug. just anything to kind of change up the four walls that you stare at in each room, you know, really is a way to help take control over your immediate environment, you know. And if you're not sure what to do, get on Pinterest, get online and look up different ideas. You know, if you're not really the creative type, it's definitely a fun project to do, but it doesn't cost anything to move your furniture, you know, unless you can't move your furniture for medical reasons. Maybe there's someone who can help you make that possible. So number two, I am, because I do not have a fireplace yet, we do not have a fireplace, I find beautiful fireplaces on YouTube to play on my flat screen TV. So you have the vision of a fireplace, and then you can even find fireplaces that have music or just the natural crackle and pop of a fireplace. So that really to me has added a nice cheery, calm, cold, like cozy vibe. When the world is cold and stupid looking outside, you can create a nice environment to just put on a fake fireplace if you don't have a real one. So I really like that. And the third thing I'm doing is I put Christmas lights on everything, and I put them up early. I have wrapped lamp poles, draped them over my TVs. I'm trying to stick with like one room in our family room in the basement. I went all out and with like all the crazy rainbow colors and everything's rainbow crazy. But upstairs, I'm just kind of keeping it low key because I want to be able to have the lights. And let's be honest, we make the rules, okay? Everybody's like, oh, they gotta take your lights down after Christmas. You can leave those puppies up all year long if you want, okay? Let's think outside the box. You can do what you want with your Christmas lights. So I just have been sticking to like twinkle lights, or I get those really cool LED strands off from Amazon that come with a little remote and you can change them with the seasons, you know? So for fall, I was doing a lot of yellows and oranges. And then for Christmas, I can switch it up and do greens and reds, or you can put it on random and just have them change into random colors on a whim. So that has been cool. And honestly, you don't have to be a chick or a dude to like this. You just have to, you know, guys tend to get all hung up on, oh, I don't want to decorate, whatever, you know, get over yourself, throw up some lights and make yourself smile. So there's just something about it. My husband always gives me the side eye like, oh, more Christmas lights. But then who likes it? Who likes the nice warm glow that I have created with my 5,000 strands of lights? Okay. You know, don't knock it until you try it. So I have liked that a lot. And you can wrap it in garland and drape it over. You can just there's so many unique things that you can do with Christmas lights just to make it look cool. So I also, number four, I watch what kind of content I consume on a regular basis as it is, but as this cold wintry season approaches us, I make a bigger effort to watch happy shows that make me laugh and feel happy inside. So naturally I gravitate towards comedies, Hallmark, sappy rom-coms, stuff like that. I'm not going to lie. I enjoy them, and I think, why not? I don't want to sit down and watch some axe murderer film. One, because I don't believe in putting junk like that in my head anyways. Nothing good comes from it. I mean, let's be honest. But if you're already battling, like, a gloomy, dreary outside, why are you going to make the inside of you feel that way? I mean, it's like wiping before you poop. It doesn't make sense. So number five, I create things I feel, I feel that when we create things, we feel so much better about ourselves and our capabilities and our abilities and our life. You know, it's easy to be a destroyer of things, but try flipping the script and be a creator of things. You know, it's easy to get in that slump. It's easy to tell yourself you can't do stuff. Yes, you can. It's easy to just wake up and, like I said, flip on the TV, turn your brain off and don't want, you just get stuck in this hamster wheel of life where your happiness is tied to whatever's on the screen when you are such a creative person on the inside. You know, we live in this life where we all live in tiny little boxes, and oh, if you look like this, you shouldn't make this. And if you're a guy, you shouldn't enjoy painting. If you're a girl, you shouldn't enjoy working on underneath the hood of a car. I mean, no. If you're good at something, start harnessing your talents. Start digging, get online, check out some new stuff. Personally, I do bullet journaling. I play video games. I podcast. I do plastic canvas. I'm just starting to paint wintry scenes on scrap wood that we have lying around from our house renovations over the past couple months. So dust off some of your old hobbies, research some new ones, try some new recipes, research a new topic about something you knew nothing about. Either way, tapping into your creative side can help you expand your knowledge base as well as possibly expand your social circles if you are feeling blah in that department too. So there's that. That wraps up my entry number 6 of Reflecting with Raina. And like I said, you can join in on the discussion by emailing the show at reflectingwithraina@gmail.com or tweeting the show at Raina Reflects on Twitter, or follow me at Raina Swift Sage on Twitter. And you can also find my show notes at reflectingwithraina.com. God bless. Peace out. You guys have a great time. And I will see you on Reflecting with Raina entry 7. Bye.